Lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, in what is probably going to be our last drive time from this specific location doing this one. We are heading on the road. God's got us out and about, moving to and fro in the earth in such a time as this. And as we go out doing the work that God has for us, doing that which He has in front of us to do. So, we're going to be traveling all over the world, actually, coming up here. And, forgive me if I sound a little rough. I've had a bit of a cold. So I know the voice sounds a little bit muffled, but we still, whenever it is that God puts something in our heart to speak, we turn on the microphone and turn on the player and go. And because you know why? We live in a time right now, and I've said this before, and I say this to people that are close to me all the time. It's an amazing time in history to be alive. And this is to be a child of the living God, living in this world at such a time as this, is absolutely incredible, because you get to be a part of what God is doing in an incredible intergalactic play, if you would. I mean, look, this life, everything that's going on here, look, this is not the real world, okay? You got to know that. This, excuse me, this life is transitory. Everything in here, everything in this life that is, will later not be in this dimension, in this paradigm. What you will see is there will be things that carry on from here into the next that will carry on into an eternal reality. And that eternal reality, that is what's real. Not this one. You know, this is a temporal reality for a temporary season in time. This is a temporal place where, in this dimension, light and dark exist together. So light and dark exist simultaneously in this place. The wheat and the tares grow together. The children of God, the children of light and truth, carry on amidst a world that is majority facing the world and the world system, the broad path to destruction. And yet we continue on. You know, that's the thing too. The very fact that we are outnumbered in the natural, you would think they would have gotten rid of us by now, but they can't. Because the Spirit of God protects His people. And even as Elijah prayed that, Lord, their eyes, that the eyes of His servant might be open, that he could see that those that were with him, the child of God, with the children of God, were more than those that were against them. And they could see when the eyes of their understanding and their spirit was open, they could see and they understood, oh, okay, here's the chariots of fire, here's the host of heaven, here's the people of God. And we are definitely on the winning side. You know, if you are a child of God, you are on the winning side. Did you know that? And in fact, if God wanted to, He could just wrap this whole thing up just like that. He could just snap His fingers and the whole thing would be done. But that's not His method of operation. Because there's something else that He wants to have happen here. There's something else that He wants to have happen in time. There's something else that He desires would take place here in this reality. There's something else that He would like you to do and to experience and to know and to understand and to live out. See, He wants you to experience some things too. Do you ever think of that? that God actually had some things that he wanted you to experience, that he wanted you to know his goodness for yourself. He wanted you to know his love for yourself. He wanted you to know his blessing for yourself. He wanted you to know what it was like to be lost and then to be found by him and to be found in him. He wanted you to know what it was like to experience his presence, and to know the sweetness of that, and to also know, you know, the pain of what life is apart from him. He wanted you to know what that was like, to know the pain of life apart from him, so you can have an eternal appreciation for what you have in him. You should have an eternal appreciation. We all will. Trust me, we all will have an absolute eternal appreciation for what he's done for us once we've come through this life, because we'll also realize what we are apart from him, which is, I mean, apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, there's only misery and pain and grief and turmoil and strife and just a horrid existence. It's hell. It is hell apart from him. Because you're literally cut off from that which is your source and reason for being. You're cut off from the source of your life. You're cut off from that which actually gives you reason and purpose. Like, think about a hand. You know, if a hand is cut off from the body, well, it's disconnected from the blood flow, and now it's dismembered. So it's worthless. It's useless. It's it only as long as it's connected to the body does it have value and is it useful. But as soon as it's detached from the body, that hand is now it's of no use to the body. And it's completely devoid of its reason and purpose for being created in the first place. Excuse me. So is every person that is cut off from the vine. So is every person that is cut off from I am. So is every person that is detached from Christ Jesus. If you're detached from him, if you're detached from him, the author and the finisher of your faith, if you are separated from him, then you won't know truth. You won't know peace. You won't know what it is to walk as an eternal being. Whereas if you are consummated with him, if you've been made one in I am, if you have come into your eternal state, you will know what it is to have peace. You will know what it is to have joy. You will know what it is to walk with him. So, you know, the world doesn't know it. And that's why, too, we seem strange to the world. You know, we seem strange to the world because we do things the world would never do. We talk in a way the world would never talk. We relate to each other in a way the world would never relate to other people. You know, among the true followers of the living God is the place where I don't see racism. Among the true followers of the living God, not religion, but among the children of God. I've noticed this because, you know, among the true followers of the living God, they don't see people based on race or ethnicity or national background. They don't see people like that. They only see people through the eyes of the Spirit. And as they see people through the eyes of the Spirit, they realize a brother or sister in Christ, and they realize those that are not. And those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't matter what the shell is, what color their hair is or their skin is or anything like that. What matters to them is where their spirit is. And if their spirit's going in the same direction, praise God, let's walk together. And if it's not, then they, then, you know, there's, how can two walk together? At least they'd be agreed. Amos 3:3. So they know that they don't walk with those people and they just carry on. But I've noticed this. I've noticed how over time what God's done is he will raise up his people. And when he does, there's also an incredible unity in the Spirit that goes across across ethnicities, across races. And that's scriptural because, too, God even talked about how, you know, at the end of this whole thing, you know, when there's the revelation of his people, you know, before the throne, you know, every tribe and tongue and nation is before God. So that being the case, you know, you know that, but there's a unity in spirit there when they're all together praising and worshiping him. So, you know, whereas what I've seen in the world is divided. And because the world is divided, when it comes down to the world religious systems, they're divided too. And even within religions, you know, I've noticed this too, even within religions, how class and caste and race and ethnicity and socioeconomic background. Oh, there's another one. You can even all be of the same race, the same ethnicity. But what side of the tracks did you grow up on? What school did you go to? You know, what, you know, where did your parents go to school? Where did they send their kids to school? You know, all of that stuff brings in, again, division, cutting things up, putting things in boxes, putting things in a certain way that, you know, for, again, man's agenda. Because man, apart from the living God, is dismembered. And because he's dismembered, he's cut off. And when things are cut off, they you know, they get put into another place. So they compartmentalize everything. And they want to figure out their life and their reality and each other based on where they fit in relationship to you know, whatever they've predetermined is the rating criteria. You know, it's funny, too, is there's been times in history where, you know, rating criteria has shifted. Rating criteria has changed. You know, I mean, it's funny how, you know, during certain periods of history, you know, women were considered beautiful when they were rounder and more plump, you know, Rubenesque women, if you would. You know, whereas as time went on, as time continued to carry forward, you know, now we live in the day and the age where it's all about, you know, health and fitness, and you can't have any fat on you. So all that stuff shifts. But, you know, some things stay a little bit more consistent. But other things, you know, change and twist and turn with time. You learn that the world is fickle. And you learn that the world will gladly throw you out. Today's trend and the popular person today is the one that's thrown under the bus tomorrow. Whereas in Christ Jesus, you know, what's the one thing that's really cool is there's a timeless element to his people. So not only are they not divided by race or ethnicity, you know, we see each other as true children of the living God. We see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. But also, there's a timeless aspect to how we relate to each other. You know, that there really isn't time when, you know, when we meet. So you can meet somebody that is 15 and walks with the Lord, and you can have a friend that's, you know, 65 that walks with the Lord. And there's, and it's beyond time. So the way that you relate to each other, they are eternal beings. And they relate as eternal beings. And they can have a conversation as an eternal being, one with another. And it's not contingent. Not contingent or dependent on you know, human setup and logic. But it's dependent on the work of the Spirit. And I've always noticed that the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have, that they're timeless, as are we. So, yeah, you know, we're in a certain place in time. Of course we are. You know, but that's just because of the paradigm that we live in, which this is the one that we were born into. We came into this world for a reason. For a short season of time, which is really, really, oh my gosh, it's just a blink. It's seriously just a blink. You don't have to worry about much, because by the time that you, if you want to spend your time and your energy worrying while you're here, that's going to be an ultimate waste of your existence. Rather, just walk in step with Him and let Him unfold everything. Because, you know, God can do that. And He can do that as you trust in Him. As you, if you worry about it yourself, if you perplex about things yourself, you're going to get stuck. Because you're going to have to try to do and fix everything. But if you let God work on your behalf, God will do the work. God will take care of you. God will watch over you. His glory will be your rear guard. He will lead and guide you into all truth. You know, God, He's always taking care of His people. And, you know, this life, though, is very much a time when, you know, people either choose, you know, to embrace the truth and the light and the way, which is Christ Jesus, when it's revealed, or they choose to reject and embrace the darkness, embrace the lie, embrace that which is anti-Christ. And, you know, because of the fact that people's souls are in the balance, you know, we seek, and because also there's time while people still have breath in their lungs, that God is merciful, and we call out to Him for His mercy on people's behalf. But because all of that's there, we take it seriously that we need to proclaim this truth. You know, we need to speak it. We need to do all we can to see people come to know the living God, if there's something that we can do to help facilitate that process. Ultimately, we also know and recognize that God is the one that causes it to grow. God's the one that draws people. You know, so you know, but we preach because, you know, they need to hear. And He sent us to speak the message and to speak the truth. So as God does what He does with us, you know, for part of the process for us is it's consistently a letting go of your own perceptions, your own ideas, your own you know, individual ideologies apart from Him. You're letting go of all the things that you thought were important and letting Him be everything. And then, from the place of Him being everything, letting Him then unfold your life according to what He wants it to be and what He knows is best for you. And God, when He does that, He won't ever shortchange you. You know, I that was one thing that, you know, like, I know I worried about when I was first starting out, just because I didn't know many people that actually followed Him. I mean, I knew some people that, you know, prayed and were very passionate and did all the, you know, were very animated about their faith. But how many truly trusted Him? I think it was a lot less. And, you know, but part of the concern I think that people end up having is the fact that, you know, I mean, will they miss out? If they trust God, if they let go, will they, you know, miss something, you know, that the other people have? And the truth is, I can say it now because I've experienced it, but no, in fact, you end up having the most incredible life. You end up doing things that other people could never dream of. You end up experiencing things that other people could never even hope to. And, you know, part of the reason for that is just because you trust Him. And you'll launch your life out on Him. And He won't disappoint those that put their trust in Him. He won't. He won't. Because He knows. He knows those are His. And He knows those that respond. And the chosen are blessed, blessed, blessed people. And because, you know, He knows you by name. And you are a son and a daughter of the living God. Because of that, you know, embrace it and dream big and allow Him to unfold things. And know that He won't let you down. Know that He's going to be there for you. He's going to pick you up when you are down. And, you know, He's going to put you on your feet and give you exactly what you need to keep you going strong in Him. So, you know, with all that takes place, you know, don't allow for things to occupy your mind and to get you down and depressed and stressed and worried. No, rather than that, just praise Him where you're at. Look forward to all that He's going to do in your life, but then focus on being you know, in Him right now. Focus on being, you know, in step with our Father in heaven at all times. You know, watch and pray. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Watch and pray. You know, look unto Him. Because the thing is, too, is that right now, you know, you got to keep your eyes on Christ. You know, that was the word that came with praying with some brothers in Christ at the start of this year. And part of that word for this year was just to consistently keep your eyes on Christ. Because a lot is going to be going on in the world. We talked about it way back then, you know, 8 months ago. Was, you know, the world is going to be having a ton of things going on. And also, even in our own lives, there's going to be a lot going on, a lot taking place. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, when Jesus was out with the fishermen, walking on the water, and they saw Him walking on the water, when they saw Him, they cried out and they were a bit freaked out. But then Peter said, "Hey, if it's You, Lord, You just tell me to come out there and I'll walk on the water with You." And Jesus like, "All right, Peter, come." And Peter jumped out of the boat and was walking towards Jesus. And he was on the water too. You got to remember that Peter was on the water too. That Peter was doing the miraculous. But how did the miraculous happen? It happened when his eyes were on Christ. As soon as he took his eyes away from Christ and started looking at his current situation and started projecting forward and being fearful of drowning and all that would happen to him, and he started moving towards that. His eyes were off Jesus and they were on something else. And that something else sucked him back into time and out of that place in I Am. Because before that, he was just in that moment with Christ, walking on the water. And then when he flipped from that, he flipped into temporal reality, looking at things and freaked out at the fact that he was, you know, he was on the water and thought about all the bad things that could happen and looked around, but looked at everything else but Jesus, which was the source of how far he had come in the first place. So you got to remember who brought you this far already. You got to remember what God's already done in your life. And if you can keep that in front of you at all times, it'll always be a good reminder that, you know, you can trust Him right now, in this moment. And, you know, the thing is, if you can trust God in this moment, 100%, you're ready to do anything. Because this moment is what you have. I mean, He is I Am. He is I Am. And that being the case, you know, He will do the miraculous in your life if you just trust Him, if you just walk with Him, if you just put all your chips in with Him and say, "All right, Lord God, I'm just going to bank on You. I got nowhere else to go. I got nothing else I can do, think, or say. I'm just going to trust You and I'm going to do what You put in front of me to do. And Lord, You lead me. You guide me. You have the full say in what takes place in this life, what takes place in my life. Because my life is no longer my life. It's no longer me separate from You. It's our life. It's our life in You, Father. It's our life in Christ. Father, what would You have for us to do today? Lead and guide us in this day. Give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name. And then the Lord will do it. God will feed you from His hand. He'll take care of you. He'll always watch over you. He'll always be with you. He'll always strengthen you. He'll always lead you and guide you. He'll always bless you. We bless you in Jesus' name. And God bless you guys. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faithmix, one word, and you will find us there. Keep on keeping on, guys. We love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.